Very end of Perek Tes, the last two psukim. Okay, we're up to pasuk. One second. Pasuk of Dalet. Hine yamim boim. Nu'um Hashem, days are coming. Ufakadati al kol mul bi'or lo. I will bring punishment upon kol mul. And it's a hard passage to translate. Mul literally means those who have been circumcised, and that is a code word for klal Yisrael. Bi'or lo means those who have not been circumcised, and that refers to the umay soilam. This pasuk is introducing us something new that we have not yet had. We have not yet had in Yirmiyah, where Hakadosh Yirmiyah is now beginning to say prophecy regarding the nations of the world. Until now, everything until the end of the test, the best that I can recall, is all related directly to Klal Yisrael. Hashem will punish. Hashem is warning through Yirmiyah that if the Klal Yisrael does not stop worshipping idols, they are going to be punished. Now we are being introduced to the role of Navi is not only. The role of a Navi is not unique to Klal Yisrael. The role of a Navi in ancient times was also to give over words of prophecy to the nations of the world. And he's basically warning that Hashem will punish you, the nations of the world, for what you're going to do to Klal Yisrael. And that's the obvious question. The obvious question is that if until now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we deserve what we're going to get, so why then should the nations of the world also have to suffer punishing us? So that's the question you can go back and ask him with regard to Mitzrayim. Hashem said, "Va'avodum." Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "Va'avodum ve'inu yoisam arba me'oshana." They're going to suffer. They're going to be tortured for 400 years, afflicted for 400 years. So why didn't the Kadosh Baruch Hu destroy Mitzrayim with such a vengeance? The 10 makos kriyas yamsof. So the Ramban asked this question. The Ramban says because they did not have to be the nation that did Hashem's kaviyachol dirty work. Hashem put a gzeira of avodom ve'inu yoisam. Any nation could have been the one that fulfilled the eretz loy lohem. Eretz loy lohem is outside of Canaan. It could be any nation of the world. The fact that Mitzrayim took advantage of the situation, took advantage of the vulnerability of Klal Yisrael and fulfilled what it said, va'avodom ve'inu yoisam, is why they deserve to be punished. The second answer the Ramban gives is they've done more. Then they went overboard. The gzer was inu yosam va'avodun. There's a light form of work and there's a heavy form of work. There's a light degree of subjugation of the inui of torture, and then there's a heavy duty dosage of torture. The Torah does not give shiurim. The Egyptians went overboard and maximized the servitude and the affliction, and therefore they're deserving. It shows they did not do a l'shem shemayim; they did it for their own purposes, their own needs. And the biggest proof is that when Klal Yisrael finally left Mitzrayim after 210 years, why did the Egyptians chase after them? That really goes to show that their kavana to begin with was not sincere. And those same two ends are exactly the same ends with regard to the nations of the world that it says here, Pasuk Chaf Hei, the next Pasuk, Al Mitzrayim. Hashem is going to bring punishment upon Mitzrayim, the Al Yehuda, that we're going now to Klal Yisrael, the Al Edoim, the Al Bnei Amon, the Al Moav, the Al Kol Kitzutzei Feyon, all of the extreme ends of the earth. Peyon means the edge, the end, and the Kitzutzei means the extreme edge. To the extreme edges of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hayoshvim Bamidbar, Ki Kol HaGoyim Arelim, all of the nations of the world are Arelim, they are uncircumcised. The Chol Beis Yisrael Arelelev, the Jewish people, they may indeed be circumcised physically, but spiritually they're not. Spiritually their heart is uncircumcised. Their heart is stubborn. They are impure, and they deserve to be punished. So the Pasuk here is telling us that not only will Klal Yisrael suffer as a consequence of Chet, the Umos HaOlam, which includes Edoy, Moav, Amon, the Kitzutzei, Feya, Hayoshim, Bamidbar, they're all going to be punished because everyone is going to be guilty in their unique way. Klal Yisrael is guilty for rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ummos Olam are guilty for taking advantage of the situation and overdoing it and bringing very great harm and punishment to Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to the Mefarshim, these two Pesukim slowly, because it's a little bit complex, especially where it says here in the words in Pasuk Chav Dalet, Kol Mul Be'orlo. So the Mitzudah Stavit explains, Hine yamin boim zeh be'etz hiskabrus Nebuchadnezzar. Days are coming when Nebuchadnezzar prevails. Ufakadeti ashkiach le'enosh ulohavi gmul. In due time, I will punish and bring everyone there what they deserve. Now he doesn't over here explain kol mul be'arla. He doesn't really explain the two words here, mul be'arla. We'll have to wait for the Radak. But the civil translation is, again, mul means lashon like nila, or upon all those who have had a circumcision, and that refers to Klal Yisrael, be'orla, and means all those who have uncircumcised, and that's the umos olam. Now the next pasuk says, al mitzrayim, ata mefarish mihem hamekablim ha'inish v'hagmul li'pol biyad Nebuchadnezzar. Who is going to fall in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar? So it's a little bit different than what I told you. Let's see how he explains them. So those, who's going to be the ones who are going to suffer? All of these nations, Egypt is going to fall in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, Edom, Amon, Moab, Kitzutzei, Feo, Mitzudos, Hanifradim, Umifuzorim, Be'ha'ever, Ha'hi, Ha'yeshvim, Bamidbar. All of those nations or individuals that are dispersed and scattered along the perimeter, along the extreme edge of the desert, they're all going to fall in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. His power will be complete, and every nation will suffer because these nations deserve to suffer. Mitzrayim deserves to suffer. Why? Let's look at it from a different approach. Because they were unfaithful, they did not keep their promise. They promised to assist Klal Yisrael, and they were not true to their word. Even though Hashem... What? So anyway. Let's go down. Okay, I'll make it a little bit higher. Even so, all of these nations, they will all get what they deserve for Hashem and Mitzrayim. Even see, Hashem is going to punish Mitzrayim. Even though Mitzrayim is not helping us for good reason, because we don't deserve to be helped, but nevertheless, they still have a moral obligation to be true to their word, to keep their part of the deal, to come to our assistance. The fact that they did not come to our assistance, they are also deserving of punishment, irrespective of the fact that we are not deserving that they should help us. And we know that for the last 400 years, that Klal Yisrael were living in Eretz Yisrael, they always suffered through Moab, Ammon, and their neighbors. They always were constant wars taking place in Sefer Melachim, Sefer Shmuel, and now finally when Nebuchadnezzar comes to exile Klal Yisrael, these nations will finally get what they deserve for all the suffering they caused us in the past. Rashi, Pasuk Chavdalet says, Al-Kol Mul Ba'arla. So here he explains these words, Al-Kol Mul Sheyesh Loi Arla. All those people who do have, I'll call mul. All of those people who do have a physical circumcision, because they have another type of foreskin, and that's the spiritual foreskin, which is sheyeshli arla afilu arla slave. So anyone who has, even the Jew Klal Yisrael who has a mul. Okay, I think according to Rashi, we're now referring. I told you before that it refers to two different categories. Mul is Klal Yisrael, and Arla are the Umos Ha'olam. It seems that Rashi says that Mul ve'Arla be'Arla is one expression. It's one term. It refers to anyone in Klal Yisrael, even though, despite the fact that he is physically circumcised, it does not matter. He is deserving of punishment because be'Arla, he has the Arlas Lev. His heart is thick. His heart is covered. His heart does not want to receive Hashem's Musar. Pasuk Hafei al Mitzrayim, Shecheini Eretz Yisrael Hayu, V'loku Acharecha B'samuch La. they were also punished. Egypt is the neighboring country of Eretz Yisrael, and they were smitten achareha b'samachla. So he learns over here that afterwards, first Nebuchadnezzar exiled Klal Yisrael from Yerushalayim, and then he went and he conquered Egypt. Kemosha Kosova, it says in Yecheskel, Mufarish b'seid olam. And this is true, it's very common. All of the Nevi'im, which includes Yirmiyah, and Yecheskel, and Yeshaya, and the Treasar, over and over, in fact, some of them, the bulk of their prophecies relate to the punishment that will come to the Umo Sa'olam. There's a chunk that refers to what's going to happen to us in the time of Mashiach, in the time of the Golas. But a very nice, a significant chunk of the Nevuah of Yecheskel and of Yeshaya relates to the Umo Sa'olam. It shows that there is a much bigger picture. When we learn Chazal, many times we unfortunately get the impression that the entire world is centered on us. There's no one out there in the universe but us. And all the other nations of the world are nothing but cockroaches. And they're insignificant. That could not be further from the truth. Every single creature, every single human being that Hashem created has a purpose, has a tafkid to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His unique way, whether it means the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, whether it means other elements of servicing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they have a purpose, they have a role. And the Navi is there to instruct them, give them guidance, and to warn them that if they do not fulfill their role in serving Hashem, which more often than not includes supporting, serving as a support for Klal Yisrael, then they will suffer the consequences. And certainly when it comes to Mashiach, in fact, it appears from Chazal, one of the main goals of Mashiach, Tafkid of Melech Mashiach, is not so much Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael will say to Mashiach, you know, we have our own Rabbanim. Don't try to impose upon us new chumras. We have our Rabbanim. The Melech HaMashiach will be a very great salvation to the Umo Sa'olam, because they're blind. They have no clue on what's going on in this world. Klal Yisrael, we have the Mesorah, we have tradition, we have a Derech. We've survived this long. Nations of the world, they come and go. Every few hundred years, a nation disappears off the face of the earth. Cultures come and go. But Klal Yisrael, we've been around for 2,000 years since the Churban. Obviously, we're doing something right. We're doing a lot of things wrong also. We've been losing many people. But obviously, the fact that we still have survived shows that we have a derech even without Eliyahu HaNavi HaMashiach. But the Umo Sa'olam have no clue. And they, more than we, need the Melech HaMashiach. Okay, let's see the Radak. Radak on these two... We did. Sorry, next. So the next Rashi. Next Rashi is Kitzutze Peya Loshon Kotze Hamuktzin B'Pa'as Midbar. It means the edge of the desert. Let's go to the Radak Pasuk Chof Gimel Chof Dalet. I'm sorry, Chof Dalet. Hine Yomim Bohim, days are coming. Kroivim Lavo, they're near. V'Zachar Ilu Umos Ba'Avur Yisrael. Ki elu he masher hereyu li Yisrael. So first, Radak is saying something that he's just giving some bayer, which I try to explain, and the Mitzudos touched upon, is that these nations are being incorporated in the punishment, including the suffering that will happen at the time of the Nebuchadnezzar, because these nations have caused pain, have caused harm to Klal Yisrael. The Ode, ki el humos hachriv the Nebuchadnezzar. These nations, then the second interpretation, he's saying that I don't really understand what he means coming to it here, but these nations, the Nebuchadnezzar, were destroyed by the Nebuchadnezzar. Vegam hu vizaro loku bo acharona lefi shehereyu li Yisrael yoyser midai. This is the Ramban. He's drawing from the Ramban. The Radak, we said before, and the same idea, the Radak did not live that much after the Ramban. Okay, the Radak was maybe 100 years after the Ramban, something along those lines. And the Nebuchadnezzar also will get what he deserved. Whoops, let me speak a little lower. The Nebuchadnezzar also will get what he deserves because the Nebuchadnezzar, let me just turn it, because I think the feedback is... Okay, now I can make it... No. King Nebuchadnezzar will also get what he deserves in due time, because this Yisrael, because they brought more suffering upon Klal Yisrael than we deserved. Next words, Al Kol Mul Be'arla. Al Kol Mul Elu Yisrael Shehem Mulim. The Al Asher Be'arla, and when it says the next words Be'arla, this refers to, in other words, according to Radak, the Radak is telling us to repeat the word Al. Al Kol. This is very common in Nevi'im. We did this many times. We take words and we repeat them in order to make sense out of a cryptic pasuk. So it's as if the pasuk reads Ufakadati Al Kol Mul the Al Kol Arla. Okay, the base really is serving in place of two words, the al kol, or maybe keep the whole the base, the al kol be'arla. What is be'arla? The al kol be'arla, eluhu umos shezocher. The umos olam are those that physically do not have a foreskin. The al shezocher oimed shnayim. The word al that begins the pasuk, it stands for both. It refers both to the mul and refers to the be'arla. As I explained, you repeat the word twice. You repeat the word kol also twice. Al kol mul, the al kol be'arla. Mul is a code word for Klal Yisrael who have a circumcision, and their problem is they are rebellious, and be'arla are those who are Raelim, people that have not been circumcised, who do have the foreskin, and it refers to the Umos Olam. And the next pasuk goes on to describe who are these nations that we're referring to, Yehuda, but it also refers to Mitzrayim, Edom, Amoin, and the people in the Ketzutzei, Peas, Hamidbar. But again, so he comes out of here that we have machloikis between Rashi and the Radak as to the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. Radak says we're dealing here with two different nations. Mul is Klal Yisrael, Arla is Umos Olam. According to Rashi, we're dealing only with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the Mul. They are physically circumcised, but Be'arla, they have an Arlas Halev. They have a foreskin, a symbolic foreskin upon their heart, which prevents them from doing teshuva. Okay, now the next pasuk, the Radak says, tells us the exact nations. Al Mashal Yehuda ki Yisrael ki Yisrael, Mamleches Ephraim. His question, the Radak is answering, is why do we focus only on Yehuda? What happened to the Aseres HaShvatim? Aseres HaShvatim was called by the name Ephraim after the leader Yoram ben Nevat. So he says because he does not exist, the Aseres HaShvatim have long been exiled. Ki Yisrael Yisrael, the Malchus of Yisrael, which is represented by the Malchus of Ephraim, Hechriv Melech Ashur Kivar. That's old news. That's already 150 years ago. The Yehuda Hechriv Nebuchadnezzar, the Al Shor Hagoyim Shezochar. Who are they? The what the pasuk enumerates, and then it goes on to describe the Al Kol Kitzutzei Fe'a Hayoshvim Bamidbar Ze Kedar. Okay, the nation of Kedar. Machol, you know what Kedar is? Okay, it's not Mitzrayim because it literally lists Mitzrayim. Okay, whatever it is, the nation. Umamluchos Chotzor, another ancient nation. Ashahika Nebuchadnezzar, Kemoshe Snabe Yirmiyahu, like Yirmiyahu was Misnabe Ulibuasai, Kesuba Mesefa Sefer. And if you want the details, all the gory details of what exactly is going to happen to the nation of Kedar and Chotzar, who are captured here in this catch-all phrase of Kitzutzei Fe'a, you have to wait to the end of Sefer Yirmiyah. There, he'll devote an entire section just to their destruction. Uperush Kitzutzei Fe'a. What does it mean? Those are the edge, on the extreme edge. Shoichlim b'ketzei ha'peah, who dwell on the extreme edge. Kolomai rechoikim b'midbar, they're far away in the desert. V'hadavar harechuk yikore kotzeh. Something that's far away is called kotzeh, v'yikra peah. It's also called peah. Two different words which mean the same thing, and we put the two words together, so we end, there's an intensity. Kitzei peah, it means rechoike ha'gvul b'chol davar, the extreme edge. V'kotzeh, v'kitzeitz, what?
Borderlands. I mean, Hatzor, if that's one of these, that's not that far away.
So maybe it's a different Hatzor. Maybe so then I'm referring to an ancient chatzar, which would be further away. Alright, well, maybe just relative to what we call far away. The chatzar v'kitzeitz b'inyin echad, the word kitzeitz, over here the pasuk, it's not chatzar, there's a double tzadi, kitzutzei. So he says, that should not bother you, it's all the same. What? Yeah, by yatzeitz. There's a kuf. The point of view, there's a kuf. Okay, next. Next one over here is, now we have a long radak here. He called Hagoyim. No, that's the next parak. I'm sorry, is that the next parak? Right, that's okay, I call Goyim. Ato perishmul. Okay, now he can call you. Now radak is going l'shitosoy. The Radak in the previous pasuk says there are two worlds. There's the word mul and there's the word be'arla. Mul, he said, refers to Klal Yisrael, and be'arla refers to the umos olam. So now l'shitasai, he's coming to say that this pasuk is coming to explain the deeper than the previous pasuk. Ata perish mul uperish be'arla. Now we're coming to elaborate on this cryptic expression mul be'arla. Ki be'arla, the word be'arla, that is a reference al ho'akum. Shehem arelim, they indeed are uncircumcised. Umul omar, the word mul, which means short for mila mem lamid, is a code word for klal yisrael al yisrael. Ki afal pishehem mule basar, Hashem here is criticizing klal yisrael. This is a very sadistic radak. This beautiful radak is telling us chitzoylios is nonsense. It's meaningless. You can wear a black hat, have a long beard, and wear a long frock, and have your tzitzis dangling all the way down to your toes. It doesn't mean anything. It's totally meaningless. What counts is the panemius. Ki af al pi shehei mulei vasar. You have the ultimate sign. You have your foreskin has been removed. You could not do better than that. It doesn't matter, Hashem says. Heim arele leiv uyin le onesh. They are deserving of punishment. Veloy omar alaakum shayiyu oinshim bavur ha'arlo. Okay, now he's going and describing why are the umos and why are they going to be punished. It's not because they have not removed their foreskin. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's not what's important. Ki lo yitztavu aleha. If Hashem wanted the umos olam to undergo circumcision, he would have commanded them to do so. Ella bavur yisrael amar. The reason why they're going to be punished is because of their treatment of bnei yisrael. Kolaymar harei shavu harei shebok shavu kichol hagoyim shehem harei. What's that word? Harei shebo. Kichol ha-goyim. What?
They're equivalent.
Hare shavu, they're equal. Okay, equal. Kichol ha-goyim. Sheheim arelim. Sheloi nivdulu min ha-umos bimi losam. They have not. Ela sheibadu mehem gam kein. Ela sheibadu mehem gam kein bima'aseihem. V'kevan she ma'aseihem ki ma'asei ho'akum. V'heim areli leiv. Loi to'alim milas ha-bosar. That the Klal Yisrael, we're comparing Klal Yisrael to the Umos Olam, that since that we are, our deeds, our actions, our behavior is identical, therefore we really are no different than them. It's as if Klal Yisrael has not undergone the physical circumcision. Ki milas habosar, here is the key, here is his powerful words. The milas habosar, nitna libris, is a sign, a treaty, a covenant. Ulois liyo segula mikol ha'amim la'avodes Hashem k'mo she'amar libris olam liyos l'chol elokim ulazarech acharecha. The nechtam ois bibisaram. The reason why we put this sign in our skin, l'man yizkiru tamid ki heim nivdalim min umas. The whole sense. This arvu bagoyim, since we have mingled with the umos ha'olam, the limdu mima asehem, and learned from their evil deeds, harei heim ki I heim, we are no different than them. The physical removal of the arlam means nothing. Ki ilu heferu habris v'ho'ois, ve'enoi lohem leilo kim, and we are not the chosen people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki bachru tachtav Elohim acharim, because we have chosen for ourselves other gods. L'fichach Omar, Achar Zeh El Derech. That's why in the next parak, parak Yud, he's coming to explain the snichus, the juxtaposition of parak Tes to parak Yud, where parak Yud is going to give us some very specific instructions not to follow in the ways of the Umos Olam, not to look into the stars, not to worry about eclipses and all of these events, heavenly events, which the Umos Olam interpret as signs that the world is coming to an end. Global warming is a sign the world is coming to an end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, this is not your business. Your business is to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.
Isn't today the more who you see reflect with other nations, Islam, I think, they have circumcision at age 13, I think. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a preponderance now of in America, of people having it,
because they claim it's healthy. They claim that it takes away a chance. First of all, they claim that the spread of AIDS is reduced by 50%.
I heard that this morning in Africa. Yeah.
Right. They claim it reduces the spread of AIDS by 50%. Is that true? There are different people. There are different arguments that statistic is indeed correct. What?
There's a reverse trend.
In America, there's a reverse trend.
But still, it's more than...
Okay, so this is an old age thing. The old age, is it healthy? It prevents certain types of cancer. It prevents the spread of certain types of diseases during marital relations and things like that. That's an old age question. But one thing is for sure, they're not mechuyif. The Umos Olam are not mechuyif to circumcise themselves. Yishmael, are they mechuyif to do so? That is a debate. If I'm not mistaken, Yishmael is the child of Avram. Avraham went through the effort of circumcising Yishmael. How far does that carry over to all of the descendants of Yishmael? And also you have to be very careful today to define who is a true Yishmaeli. Just because there are some nations out there that wear turbans and they behave like Arabs does not necessarily mean that they are true descendants of Avraham Avinu from the nation of Yishmael. That's also a big, very big topic of discussion. But that's debatable if they are mechuyev in the mitzvah of Bris Milah, the nation of Yishmael, and it has a consequence for us. I mean, because do we have to treat them with respect? If a Yishmaeli has the Bris Milah, he has the Ois Bris. He doesn't have the full fledged. It's not from the Tayag Mitzvahs for them. They don't have Priya. They don't have Priya. They just have the Milah without Priya. They don't have the full fledged. But you know there's a Shla. The Shla says that's the schus. That's why they have Shlita. That's why they have Shlita on Eretz Yisrael to some small degree. Ad Hayom Hazeh. They have been given power to have shlita because they do have the zechus of Bris Milah. What does that mean exactly? It's a very explosive statement. What does that mean exactly? I don't know, but you, that's a point. A good point you're making, but more than that, I don't know. Yeah?
But at this point in time, if one was to freeze the statements that the Yemenites are making, what is the status of Israel according to the Bible? Like any other nation, they've been sort of outside...
Well, at this point in time, they're living in Eretz Yisrael. It's a year or two before the Golus. I don't know the exact time, but the Churban is imminent. It's imminent, and he's telling them you're going to be destroyed, and you're going to be you're no different. You have reduced your spiritual standing to the degree where you're no different than the nation of Ammon and Moab and the other Kedar and Chatzar. You're no different, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to wipe you away just like he's going to wipe away these other nations. Yes and no. Yes and no. We'll always be the chosen nation. The Pasuk says, "Eizes Sefer Krisos." Hashem never has given us a bill of divorce. Just because we are estranged, we have been separated, we're still legally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But unfortunately, we're not, obviously, we're not where we're supposed to be. I think it's both. The answer is yes and no. Yes, you can never take away the inner spark, but on the surface, obviously, we have distanced ourselves to a very great degree at this point in time. Yeah?
Kedar, by the way, is Yishmael.
Kedor is one of the Bnei
Yishmar. Bnei Yishmar, okay. Yeah.
Is it good allowed to make a Chabalah on himself? Well, you can, but it
does. Why not? It's not one of the, it's not one of the Zion mitzvahs Bnei Noach.
What?
We encourage it. It's not one of the Zion mitzvahs, a tattoo. Every tattoo is a chavala, is it not? Look today, what's going on today? It's frightening. You walk in the street, and we're in the Shigas. It's frightening. But the only mechuyev in the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach, and chavala is not one of them. Okay, now we go to the next part. Perek Yud. Shimu, now we elaborate. Shimu was the Rasha, the Rasha Balechem Yisrael. Listen to the following matter of which Hashem has spoken. Pasuk Beis. Koyama Hashem. El derech hagoyim al til madu. Don't, Radak, it was very beautiful how he explains the smichus. Now that Hashem has said that this mul and this ba'orla, the Klal Yisrael has now become interchangeable. If you want to distinguish yourself, that the Chorban should not come, you have to, don't follow in their ways. And now he's going to enumerate some examples. Don't look at the signs of heaven. Ki yechatu ha-goyim mehena, the goyim are the ones who are afraid of these signs. Pasuk gimel, ki chukos ha-amim hevel. Don't worry about these laws, the laws, things that are important, that are meaningful for the goyim, which simply over here in this context means the signs in heaven, eclipses and mazolos, constellations going, moving here, moving there, and what they mean, these things is hevel. It's nonsense. It's futile. Who? Ki eitz miyar koroso maasei yidei chorosh b'matzor, because... because it's like a piece of wood. It's no different than an eitz from a forest that has been cut down, that has been taken by a craftsman and been fashioned b'matzar with a special. Matzar is a special tool, a tool that is used to fashion. Wood, fashioned to chisel and to form a design on a piece of wood. In other words, these laws are all man-made. Just like if you take a piece of wood and you make it into a chair, you make it into a table, you make it into some design, it's something which is a man-made. There's no divinity. There is no significance. Likewise, the signs that the Umos HaOlam see in the sky, in the heavenly bodies, it's all a creation of their minds. And from Hashem's perspective, it has absolutely no meaning, and therefore, Klal Yisrael, you should not worry about these things whatsoever.
You say Moses from Shemayim al Tichata has to do with you shouldn't go into astrology.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it means. Exactly what it means. I mean, you can look at the astrology. You can look into the sky. You can understand the chokhmah, but it doesn't have any meaning. There is no message. Ein mazel li Yisrael. Okay, let's do one more pasuk. Because of Zav Yiyapehu, they take this piece of wood and they beautify it with silver, with gold, the masmeros with nails, uve makovos, and with pegs, yichaskeim, with hammers, naskos means and with hammers, with nails, uve makovos, a hammer, yichazukum, they strengthen these pieces of wood that they attach, the silver and the gold to this piece of wood, the lo yofik, so that it should not come apart. In other words, these things over here are purely the fixture of man's imagination. Man's imagination. Pasuk
Hey. As far as astrology goes, Masechta Shabbos, towards the very end. Thank you, first of all. Talks about if you're born under Mercury, under Venus.
So you have a certain disposition, absolutely. So even though it's true that a person is born under a certain zodiac, he has a disposition. However, Ein Mazel Li Yisrael. It's relatively easy to break out of your predisposition. That's what the Gemara says. The person is born with a predisposition to murder. He's born on a Wednesday, which means he has a tendency to enjoy the sight of blood. That does not mean he's going to be a serial murderer and be locked up in a supermax prison. What? He'll be a surgeon. He'll be a moyel. Be a shoychet. A shoychet. So it's very easy. It's a matter of channeling your nature, your tendencies for something which is permitted.
Mazel
a mazel tov, to transform your mazel ra into a mazel tov, to break out. One more pasuk, kisoymer miksho hema, they are like a sculpted palm tree. Soymer is a palm tree, miksho means that it's been sculpted. V'lo yidaberu, these items don't speak. It's navodah zara. Naso yinasu, they are carried around. These things have no life to them. We're describing idols. Kilo yitz odu, they do not have the ability to walk on their own. Al tiru mehem, don't be afraid of them. Kilo yareu, they cannot bring harm. Vegam heitev enoy sam, they cannot bring good. So Hashem over here is telling Klal Yisrael, stay away from the goyim, stay away from their idols, stay away from their signs. Let's see an elaboration in the Sukkim in the Mefarshim. Let's start with Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos David. El derech, al tilmudu luleches el derech ha'akom la'avoides ha'pesilim ha'nasim l'mazolos ha'shamayim. So the Mitzudos over here says that we're dealing over here entirely with idols. Okay, we would see a different interpretation of Radak, but right now we're dealing over here, we're dealing with idols over here, and then therefore they're making idols in the image of the mazolos. The sun, the moon, things which represent the sun, the moon, the constellations, so on and so forth, the planets. And these idols are pieces of wood which have been sculpted, have been decorated with wood, with metal, with gold and silver. Nails have been inserted to keep it strong. But they're harmless. They're meaningless. They can have no life to them. They can walk. They can talk. Do not be fooled to think that by serving these pieces of wood and silver that you're going to be spared from the bad omen that the constellations are predicting for you. Eclipses or events when stars, exploding stars or various events which are interpreted by natural phenomena, okay, even hurricanes are interpreted as signs that the world is coming to an end. Don't be afraid of these things. This is not a Jewish custom. Only the goyim are afraid of these things. They're nonsense opposite them. These are all
even for them
it's nonsense. Lemulam, even for themselves it's nonsense. Bamesh oisim sura, this that they make images, and they worship it. And they worship, it's all nonsense. Ki eitz, written lemar, af im hoya hakoyach biad tzva hashmayim lehapech hara letoiva, al yidei chavod Elohim. Even if it was true, even theoretically speaking, if it was true, that it was possible for the tzva hashmayim to transform, to predict, to bring evil upon man, mikol makoyim hevel hu lavoid es hatzura. It's nonsense to worship an object that is created in the fashion, in the image of these mazolos. Ki haloyhu eitz be'olma hanikeres minayar. What are they worshipping? You're worshipping a piece of wood that's been cut down from the forest. V'hu ma'aseh de'umon mibli hamikli hama'atzad, that has been made with a special craftsman tool. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, he translates the word ma'atzad, shem kli gadol, osui lachtech bo, which is used to cut down an axe, v'chein charosh barzel and ma'atzad, an iron axe. What is this piece of wood? The piece of wood is nothing more than a piece of wood from the forest that has been cut down by an axe, so it's nonsense to believe that by bowing down to it, you're going to have any influence over the mazolos of Shemayim. What do? The next pasuk went on to say they take this piece of wood and they decorate it with kesef uvizachov yiyapeu. They beautify it. Miyape es hatsura b'chipui by carving with kesef uvizachov u'mechazeko v'chipui al yidei mismaros uvehakoas hamakovos. And they strengthen, they firmly attach the gold and silver through nails and the banging of a hammer. V'lo yapik. V'lo yapik, so that the gold and silver should not be removed. Uman lo yeh nichshol, u'nurutzun lemar, shlo yiskalkel hiporeh hatzipui mimenu, so that the gold and silver do not fall off, the plating does not fall off this piece of wood. It's nothing, the pasuk goes on, the same pasuk K. It's no more than kitzomer miksho hema, it's a piece of a palm tree, that's mikshah, that has been sculpted. Ritzon Elohimar, ein hefresh bein eile hatsurosu bein tsuras ilon tamar hanaseh behakoshas hakunis mei mimateches. This is no different than a piece of a palm tree that has been hit, that has been beaded by a kurnos mimateches, a metal hammer. Kigam hema kamohu lo yuchlu ludaber kamohu. These idols are no different than a piece of wood from a palm tree that has been beaten by a metal hammer. They do not have the ability to communicate. No so you know say these things have no life to themselves, they need to be carried. They can't even save themselves. How do you think they're going to save you? They have to be carried on your shoulder. In Cain, Hoyel V'Chein, Ein L'cha Hevel Gadol Mizeh. The pasuk reinforces this idea. Al Tiro Mehem, do not be afraid of them. Ritzonelam, this means to say, V'Ata Yishol Al Tirohu El Af Mehatzva Hashemai Mehatzva. Don't be afraid of the Nefer. Now it goes on to say as follows: not only should you not be afraid of these idols, don't be afraid of what these idols represent. They represent the Tzva Hashemayim, Af Mitzva Hashemai Mehatzva. Ki Ein Biyodem Lasos Lachem Ro'ah V'Gam Ein Imorhem Lasos Tayvon Lemi Lemi Mechem Ki Akol Bo Lachem Behashkochas Hamakom. Everything is under the control and jurisdiction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Beis Al Derech HaGoyim Al Tilmadu. The Oz Me'osos Hashemayim Al Techasu. Do not be afraid of the signs of heaven, which means Mechamo Loika Umimurois Loikin Umimurois Loikin. An eclipse. Don't be afraid among the Goyim when there's a solar eclipse, or when the Me'oiros, okay, that is the moon, a lunar eclipse, or when the planets, I don't know, whatever this means, Jupiter, whatever, you can see certain planets and suddenly they disappear from the sky. Shooting stars, all of these things, the Me'oiros Lekin, don't, these things have absolutely no significance. A person should not take it seriously. The Goyim are afraid of these things, but we don't have these problems. Chorosh is a craftsman, an Uman, Matzot. Kerem Mechol, what's that word mean?
It means an axe.
Mm-hmm. They take gold and silver and they attach it with nails. Mismarois. Okay, what? Masmeros, what's that word? Nails. Kloish. Balas. Umakavois a hammer. Okay, kurnos. Okay, kurnos a hammer. That we know. What do? They take the nails, they bang with the hammer in order that the plate should not, your thick, should not be removed. Yikora Birkov, bowing down on your knees. It's translated in the Targum Lashon Puka. When a person bows, good morning, how are you? When a person bows on his knees, he falters. He becomes weak. It's described in the Targum as the same word, Upik Birkayim, the knees falter. When the person bows down, he's no longer firm. Likewise, when metal is attached to a piece of wood and the nails come out and get rusty and they break, so the plates are no longer firm. Next words of Rashi, they're no different than Kisomer Mikshah Hema, like a palm tree that has been beaten. Makish Oysam Bikunis Acha Zoike Feloi Koima Kidekel. They bang on a Bikunis. Some mixture. I think over here what you mean, take a piece of metal. You're taking a piece of metal and you make it look like a palm tree. A piece of metal is being beaten by a cornus, and it's
working on wood here.
Yeah,
it's a totem.
I know, but I think it's a piece of wood. Fine, a piece of wood that you beat and you make until you make it stand strong, tall, like a palm tree, to look like a palm tree. Al tiru'u mehem. Do not be afraid of these things. Im tifreshu mehem kilo yeru lochem. Don't be afraid to separate yourself from this nonsense, because they can't do you harm anyway. V'gam heitev einoisam im tavdum. If you're going to serve them, you will receive no benefit. Heitev kmo liheitev. We're missing the lamed. It's gam heitev v'gam liheitev einoisam. It should really be written as if there was a lamed. It's a mikra chaser. Okay, let's see the Radak. Radak starting with Pasuk Beis. Koyim Hashem el derech ha-goyim. Kamoi el derech goyim. So says Hashem el.
Yes.
Kamo es derech hagoyim. So this is very common, where we have to sometimes substitute the word el with the word es, in order for it to make, in order to the translation should flow a little bit easier. Uchemohu asapra el choik Hashem. I will speak es. Substitute the word el with the word es. I will speak about the laws of Hashem. Vayirdefu el midyan. He pursued, El Midian means Es Midian. They pursued the nation of Midian. Omar Al-Sfan, that's the grammar. Next. Omar Al-Tilmodu Derech Ha'akum Kevon Shatem Mulim Lo'os Ulebris Beni Uveinechem Shimru Es Derechai V'lo Darkei Ha'akum. He's connecting again this pasuk back to the previous pasuk. Since that you are my people, you have an ois bris, you have a circumcision, you are my people. Therefore, don't be disturbed, don't be bothered by the nonsense of the goyim. Do not be frightened by the signs of heaven. V'yim toimar navoid hakoychavim kiderech lakum kihim sholtim ba'aretz ve'osos ve'ososam nirim lehetiv lahara kamo yashemesh sheyesh loy mem the sun is what controls the produce. The benefit of the sun is what brings forth the produce. The produce of the what is the tavua, the grain of the shemesh, the sun is associated with the produce of the earth. If we worship the sun, so we will have benefit. If we do not worship the sun, then the sun will take revenge. The neira gamkein mikid roiso, from the coldness, if the sun, there are sunspots. So then it's not going to be good heat. Shusimin ra. They're always talking about this in the news, about the sunspots. They're obsessed whenever we read about this. The sunspots, there are too many sunspots, there are not enough sunspots, there's a streak, there's this, there's that, every other day. Every other, what?
It might affect your cell phone.
Yeah?
Yeah, wireless communication when there's sunspots.
It's weak. Wow, okay. So they always, so therefore, commercial kasa, so therefore, she's simin rali oilam, al techosu mimenu umizulo so minakochavim ki heim avodai oise devori. These are Hashem's servants, like a primer on Avodah Zarah, all the basics. V'im tavdu hadon al tischu el hadon. If you serve the master, you don't need to serve the servant. V'im tavdu es ha'ebed, and adrab, if you serve the servant, the master will get angry that your loyalty is misplaced. Yichas adon v'yishlach me'ora, he'll send a curse. Bitvu oseichem, hafech machshavoy seichem, the opposite of what you think is good. So therefore, don't be foolish to serve the servant, serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I wonder what Chazal would say about today, about global warming. Isn't it? What would they say today about global warming? How would they deal with this? Who knows? Maybe there is something to it, but I don't. Interesting. Ki yechatu hagoyim nehema. No one knows.
We're not allowed to abuse the environment.
Not allowed to. Definitely not. But to the degree, how far you go. You make it into a religion. It's almost by certain groups of people. It's a religion. It's a problem. You definitely have to be chayish. I assume you have to be chayish. You have to do everything you possibly can do. But to what degree exactly? Ki yechatu hagoyim mehema. The goyim are the ones that are terrified over these signs. Afalpi sheyechatu ha'akum mehema. Atem al techatu. You should not be disturbed. Ki im ta'avduni. If you serve Hashem, ein lohem rishus lehora lohem. V'leitasik lohem kidroi sam. Their coldness will not affect you. The im heim derech han hagasam ba'olam yu kiyum la'olam. And since they'll be around forever, it's natural. The The Eschem Lokach in Tavdu Belev Sholem Yatzilcha Mikol Nezek Mishpat Hakoy Mishpatei Kochavim Vegamu Akam Lo Toilim Avoy Dosam Lohem. It doesn't make a difference. Ki Adon Roy Li Avod V'Loi Ho'Evet L'Fichu Devar Al Lo Tatzilom Avoy Dosam Avoy Dosam Oysam Minizkan. He seems here to say that there are natural cycles in the world, and among the Umos Olam there are good times and there are not such good times. It's natural. That's the way the world is. There is a natural cycle of success and prosperity and a lack of prosperity. And there's nothing you can do to break out of the cycle. The only thing you can do is to prepare in the good days for the rainy days. And Klal Yisrael has an advantage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they are oisim, Ritzono Shel Malkeinu, Hashem will make sure they'll be protected in the times when things are not so good.
Hashem. You respond to Rishus of Kolka Umos. I mean, all the things that we've gone through over all the centuries involves people who are Ofei Hashem. It's not that they were straying anywhere. And here we have the Umos. It's worse than anything you can talk about here. And how do we justify all this?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
The Rishus. Rishus are Umos.
The wickedness, yeah. So they'll get what they deserve. We have Emuna Pshuta, the Hashem will punish them for their wickedness in the due time. In the right, everything has its time.
Our sense of time is not God's sense of time.
Okay, you know, there's a story with the Chavos Chaim. When the Chavos Chaim in the beginning of the 20th century, there was an earthquake. I don't remember the details. A devastating earthquake. Tens of thousands of people died,
and
I don't know where it was. I don't know. And they asked. There was an earthquake in the beginning in Turkey in the 20th century. And they asked the Chavos Chaim, and it was a very interesting letter the Chavos Chaim wrote. And he basically wrote that it's a natural occurrence. You can't always say that Hashem was angry at these people, and therefore it had to happen. Therefore, Hashem was punishing them. No, there were certain things that were built into the Bria. When Hashem created the world, there were certain conditions that were built into the Bria, and just a matter of time until this would happen. There would be an earthquake, and there would something like this would happen. The tsunami that happened not that long ago in Indonesia, and all of these events, these things are you can't say Hashem now at this point in time he's angry and he caused something supernatural to happen. This phenomenon was ready to happen from the time of Maaseh Bereishis.
I've been infiltrated with the idea from before the Muslims that all these happened because of us.
No. What they say is everything that happened is the lesson to learn from. These are all lessons. Everything that happens in the world is a lesson. Is a lesson for us to take stock and to learn to do Musar. But you can't always say, Chavos Chaim, you can't always say that when an event happens in this world, it's an event, especially a natural, we're not talking about an event that's done by human beings, but a natural event, you can't always say that Hashem is showing a sign of anger. It's a time of Zam. The Mabul definitely was. Hashem says, there's going to be a Mabul, I'm going to destroy the world. So that's something which was not meant to happen. It can't go say the Mabul was built into creation, that is going to come a time when it's going to be a flood, the world's going to come to an end. You can't say that. Says the Pharisee in the Pasuk, Hinani Mashchisam in the Aretz, the earth has, they have committed Averos, Hashem is going to bring the supernatural miracle to destroy the world. Sodom, it was supernatural. It was something that was meant to be from the time of Maaseh Bereishis. But events, what? Kriyas Yamsuf was also something that was special. Okay, you do have that, but when it comes over here to...
One of the Asarim, the group of Arab Shabbos and Pashekha, they make a distinction. Those things were put into creation initially.
Initially, okay.
But like, that's why it mentions that in this parasha, that Maaseh Korach was new.
It's a new thing. So this is a very important distinction between events that are new, that are decided, Hashem is showing anger at this world and he brings a korban to this world, to events that were meant to happen from the time of Maaseh Bereishis, built into the Teva. And here, that's pretty much what the Radak is saying. Radak of here is saying is, the Umos HaOlam are foolish in believing that when there is an earthquake, when there is an eclipse, and when this happens, that happens, these are signs that bad things are going to happen. This is a natural cycle. There's nothing to worry about. And when the Ummah Olam ascribe to these events misfortune and harm, they are foolish. And Klal Yisrael should stay away from these things. Let's finish up very quickly.
He distinguishes between natural events and man-made events. Like the Holocaust, for example.
That's a man-made event. There's no question about it. That's definitely. A man-made event, you have to assume, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing his anger. Now, why? No one can say why. We don't know. We don't always understand why. But it's not something that was meant to be from the time of my condition in human beings that was meant to be that there should be a Holocaust. That's nonsense. That if we were oisim with son of Shalmach and we have a moon of pshuta, that this, the Holocaust would not have happened had things been different. Now, what should have been different? Well, we need a Navi to tell us what exactly should be different. That's something you can go into in this generation. But definitely, there is a problem. There is a problem. But when it comes to an earthquake, a hurricane, a volcano, things like this, natural events, this is something that the Radak here is saying clearly, and the Chofetz Chaim discusses this, is that these are events that are natural, and it's not any sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the world. It's a tragedy. There's no question about it. It's a very great tragedy, and there's what to learn from it, there's what to mourn, there's what to suffer over, but you can't say that it's a special kufa of a response to an Aveira. Let's finish up Pasuk Gimel, Kichukas Ha'amim. Rohu ma el ma hivim avoy dezu. Look at ma hivim avoy dezu ki ma avodas ha'chav bo el avodas ha'tzalam. Look what happened. Look at the slippery slope. Look what happens. They first begin to worship the stars. And then from worshiping the stars, they go down to the next madrigal. They begin to worship objects. Because this, their priests say, Tselim hazeh nase b'mokayim hashemesh, ulechvoydi nase, it's made in its honor. V'oivdoi ki ilu oivin hashemesh, if you worship this piece of wood, it's if you're worshiping the sun. K'moy tselim azov, sh'asa nivuchanetzal l'shemesh, like nivuchanetzal, he made an idol representing the sun. V'chin yasu hatzlamim l'shoach l'chavim. V'eluchem chukas hashem l'chem l'chem l'chol k'hanei hatzlamim. And they have a whole business, a whole industry of priests who make idols representing different constellations, different heavenly bodies. V'ergilu asam b'zehadas. And they fool people, they brainwash them. Ad she'orchu hashonim b'zehadas, ad she'yachshivu hachamoyim ki zeh atzelemetim l'meiria, until people are misled to believe that worshipping this piece of wood is going to bring you benefit. V'zehu hevel v'dovar she'en b'imamish ki atzelem hazeh eitzu u'miyar korso ho'iso ho'iso, it's cut out from the forest. V'hu v'zeh ma'isi de'chorash, it's made by a craftsman. She'tiknu b'ma'atzah, that has been cut out with an axe. V'hu she'korin oso, the axe is called whatever that word is. V'zehat selam ein loy pula bi'atzmo, the selam is meaningless. V'eich yetiv, how could it possibly do good? V'eich yera shkasha yachshu eila hasacholim, these foolish people. V'zeh hevel she'ein kamohu, there's no greater foolishness than the worshipping of a piece of wood. So here the Radak is saying a yisoid, which what the Rambam himself writes, the same exact yisoid, is Avodah Zarah evolved. He mentions over here first the concept, the previous Radak, the Eved. All of the Mazolites are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we began to worship the servants. People began to worship the servants. And after worshipping the servants, they went to the next Madrega and they began to make representations of servants and pieces of wood, objects, and they worshipped the objects. So it's a double step. Don't worship the servant. Worship the master. And then after you're foolish to worship the servant, now you start making representations of the servants, and that becomes now the Ikar. Kesev zav yafeyu, they make a beautiful fishu eitz, choyfar sev kesev zav kadeh shiye yofe, v'noar be'eni haroi, and they'll want to serve it. Yechaskem, they strengthen it with plates and nails. Tase hakesef azav yechasko samayit al ha'etz b'masmeros v'hamakavos sheyaku bohem aleim ad shelo yapik, and they bang nails with a hammer so it should not be removed. Kolaymar shelo yetze, it should not come out mitachunasoy, mitachunasoy, v'lo yikashol, it should not slip. Menin ufik Birkayim, the same thing that Rashi quoted. V'yesh l'farsha minyan if it's safek l'rav, safek l'rav. Okay, another word, I don't know what that means. V'yeh azeh poil oimed, it's just another form of the same word. Ratzolay mashal yetzim imukaymo, same idea, that he should not be dislodged. Kitamar, the last pasuk, kisoymer mikshahema, kimoy hatamar, shehu shaveh, a palm tree is straight. The nature, the main characteristic of tzadik katamar yifrach. What does it mean, tzadik katamar yifrach? The common translation is that tzadik is tall, he's a giant. No, that's not what it means. A tzadik may be very small. The biggest gedolei Yisrael were midgets. Not mamish midgets. Rav Moshe was very, very short. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was teeny. He was mamish teeny. The Chofetz Chaim we saw was very short. Rav Rudeman was very short. Rav Shimon Shkop. Who was Rosh Yivin Chaim Berlin? What? Gordon was also short. Not Rav Hudner, the other Rosh Yiva. The Rosh Yiva before Rav Hudner. Mr. Weiss. Mr. Weiss is Rebbe. Who's your Rebbe in the Chaim Berlin? Rav Shurkin. Okay, Rav Shurkin. Rav Shurkin was an equal Rosh Yiva with Rav Hudner. He was teeny. Right? Rav Shurkin was teeny. He was a goyin shebegoyin Rav Shurkin. Rav Shurkin was a goyin shebegoyin. All the Gedolei Yisrael were teeny. So what shat tzadik katomar yifrach? You got it right here in this radak. The main characteristic of a tamar is not that it's tall, it's yashar. It's perfectly straight. No kunsim. No move upward, but it's yashar. No crookedness. No kunsim. No krumkeit. That's the pshat. Tzadik katomar yifrach. It says it right here in the radak. Katomar miksha. Kimoy hatomar shun shaveh. The tamar, the characteristic of the tamar, it's shaveh, it's straight. They take the cornice, they bang on the object to make sure that the avodah zarah is straight. Ein begufo yivus, there's no crookedness in a tamar. This is the mitzias of a tamar. Ki anaf of him lamala, all the branches go straight. The chol gufo shaveh, look how he elaborates. The guf is perfectly straight. L'chein maseh miksha shaveh, when you bang something, the goal of bang, when you put something on the anvil, and you bang it to make it straight. L'chein hatzel oimed hazakuf shaveh b'dmust, it's the shade of these trees is always straight. The tamar produces shade, that's yashar. If the tree is straight, the shade is straight. Shaveh b'dmust adam v'lo yidah b'dmust adam, and now he marks it. V'lo yidah b'er ki ein b'kibam ruach miniyah. All of these things, these idols, it's nonsense. They don't have the kaycha dibor, kol shekein midabrois, they don't speak. V'zeh sh'omar shoveh yinosu. I don't know what that means. Im yisi'um imakam lamakam yinosu. If you want to take them from place to place, they have to be carried. Shov yinosu. They don't shov yinosu. They can't be carried. They can't save themselves. They can't move themselves. So why do you think they can be able to save you? What?
You don't have the gears.
Okay, Ki heim lo yitzadu b'ragleim. They can walk. V'achar shem kach el tivtuchu b'al tivtuchu b'bochem v'al tira mechem ki lo yeiro v'gam heitiv lo yisam ein imochem koyach lehetiv. They have no power to good. Toimer k'moy tamar. The word toimer, it's all the cholam. A cholam, but it's the same thing as tzadik ha-tomer with a komatz. V'chein ba b'cholam, there's a cholam, tomer. V'yosheves tachas tomer. Brings the parashah shayf from Devara, also which is in that form. Ke yinasu hafuch ki haro'o yinasu. The word over here is an unusual form. The way it's spelled is naso yinasu. It really should say naso.
The vav
should be yinosu. The vav should be before the sin. Bechenu nosu. After the aleph. I'm sorry. After the aleph. Okay. So these are grammatical forms of the word nosu lashav arecha kamo nosu. The vav should be afterwards. Whatever reason, these words are used in a different form. Okay. So this is a primer for the avodah zarah. He really lays out the radaks, and he always taught us in yeshiva. The radaks, all the yisoides are in the radak. You learn radak of Nach. We never get to Yirmiyah. Only then they learn Shmuel and Malachim. But the radak has a very powerful way of bringing out all of the yisoides of Yadus. The Ramban, like the very similar to the Ramban. The Ramban also, all of the yisoides of Yadus are in the Ramban. But the Ramban's language is much more complex. sometimes it's very hard to learn a Ramban. Ramban is a complex form of language. The Radaks are much easier, and he brings out these Seidas, and here, when you want to learn about Avodah Zarah, he really lays it out. He lays out Avodah Zarah, the master, the slave, and the object that becomes the new representative, which is beautified in order to entice people. It's the big lie. The big lie of the world is Avodah Zarah. Okay, we'll stop here.